Welcome to Annunciation with Father David. Father David is the priest at Annunciation Greek Orthodox Church in Decatur, Illinois, where every week people are connected to the ancient wisdom of Orthodox Christianity. Here is Father David.
Christ is in our midst. Good morning. So these past several weeks, I have been talking about critical theory. And again, I think it's essential that we all know what critical theory is because it is a dominant philosophy within our culture. It dominates our media, it dominates our intellectual class, it dominates the academia, it dominates our political class, and it is antithetical to the gospel. And therefore, we need to know what it is and we need to know how to answer it using our Orthodox faith. And the last premise that I'm going to talk about in this series is the idea that individuals at the intersection of different oppressed groups experience oppression in a unique way. And to demonstrate that, I want to quote Warren J. Bloomfield. Individuals appear at differing points on the sexuality and gender continuum and in a path toward a definition of their identities. And individuals come from a disparate racial, sexual, gender, class, ethnic, religious, age, and regional background, as well as physical and mental abilities. Therefore, the weight of oppression does not fall on them uniformly. And to give another example, this comes from Cherry Moraga. Time and again, I have observed that the usual response among white women's groups when the racism issue comes up is to deny the difference. I have heard comments like, well, we're open to all women. Why don't they, that is women of color, come? You can only do so much. But there is seldom any analysis of how the very nature and structure of the group itself may be founded on racist or classist assumptions. So again, there's this idea that these attributes of humanity, our sex, our race, our ethnic background, the area that we were born into, these things that we have no real control over, are the overriding defining factors of who we are. And that these factors trump all other experience. They are more important than anything else in your life, determining how oppressed you are. And the people who are not of your particular background or group or sexual orientation or gender or whatever cannot understand your particular experience. Today we remember the second coming of Christ and his judgment. And we see in the gospel Christ the King coming and separating the nations. And the criteria for whether they end up on his right hand or on his left hand has nothing to do with gender or race or culture or language or background. It has to do whether or not we lived a life seeing the image and likeness of God in our fellow human beings and treated them as if they were made in that image and likeness. This is why God tells the sheep that you clothed me when I was naked. You fed me when I was hungry. You gave me drink when I was thirsty. You visited me when I was in the prison. And of course, they have no idea what he's talking about because the people they clothed, the people they fed, the people they visited were just normal people. But he said, everything that you do to the least of these, my brethren, you have done to me. We are made according to the image and likeness of God. And therefore, when we treat each other, either in sin or in virtue, we are doing the same to Christ. And note how the church sings about this. This is from the Orthros this morning. Oh, what an hour and fruitful day shall that be, when the judge shall sit upon his fearsome throne. Books will be opened, deeds will be checked, and the hidden works of darkness will be made public. Angels speed about, gathering all the nations. Come, Hearken, kings and rulers, slaves and freemen, sinners and righteous, rich men and paupers. He is coming who is about to judge the whole world. And notice that paupers and kings, slave and free, rich and poor, are side by side in front of the judgment seat. These are not classifications that have any meaning in the context of Christ. And we see this in the letters of Paul, where he says, there is no Jew, there is no Greek, there is no rich, there is no poor, there is no male, there is no female, there is no barbarian, there is no Scythian. Christ is all and in all. And so this idea within critical theory that we have these attributes that are beyond our control, that determine our oppression, and that our unique experience is completely alien to someone else's understanding, that puts us at the left hand because we are focused on the self. It is a very selfish point of view. Look at me and my victimhood. Look at me and my oppression. Look at me and my unique, special attributes that make me the intersectional hero of the day. And it is so self-focused that it completely fails to understand or see our fellow human beings as human beings. The story about the women's group and differentiating between white women and the women of color, and the fact that these women of color, they're doing the Christian thing. We welcome all women, but we're caught off from that with critical theory. We're not all women. We're not all human beings. We are black, white, gay, straight, man, woman, whatever. And as a consequence, we are unable to see the image and likeness of God in our fellow human being. We are unable to act accordingly. Notice the inherent racism of critical theory, that it is impossible for someone of a different race to understand another race. That this race is so important and so critical to the human experience that it necessarily cuts us off from each other. And that is exactly what the people at the left hand of God did in their lives. They cut people off for their own selfish needs. They thought of themselves and not of other people. When the opportunity arose to help, they did not help. Or if they did, they did it for selfish reasons. Not because this person was made according to the image and likeness of God, but because it would make me look good. And so therefore, again, we see that critical theory takes us away from the gospel, from the understanding of who God is and what his salvation is about. He came not to save a particular people or a particular kind of human being. He came to save everyone. And as a result, we who understand this, who understand that Christ came to save everyone, need to act accordingly. We cannot be the type of people who differentiate human beings by the various categories that human beings have made up to divide us. We have to see the unique and unrepeatable people that human beings actually are, that they have been created as. In fact, I would go so far as to say that if we spend a life dividing ourselves, we are doing the devil's work. All diabolos means the one who divides. It literally means to throw between. So if we have these two people and we throw race in between them, we divide them. If we throw sex in between them, we divide them. If we throw class in between them, we divide them. Whereas if we see them as the image and likeness of God, we see them for who they are. So let us remind our friends, our family, and our neighbor that we are all made according to the image of God. Demand that we respect each other. Demand that we see each other as the human beings we are. Tell the truth. Call racism for what it is. Call sexism for what it is. Call bigotry for what it is. And then turn around and love even the bigots, so that through you, they can see that the image and likeness is not only in that other person, but is in themselves. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, now and ever, to the age.